Turn in your Bibles to John, the 18th chapter. It's a very familiar passage that we're going to look at tonight and use it as a basis for what I want to talk about in the few minutes that I have. But beginning in verse 28, we read, "And they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?' They answered and said to him, 'If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you.' Then Pilate said to them, 'You take him and judge him according to your law.' Therefore the Jews said to him, 'It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death.' That the filling of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, 'Are you king of the Jews?' Jesus answered, 'Are you speaking for yourself on this, or did others tell you this about me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here.' Pilate therefore said to him," and notice this is the second time, "'Are you a king then?' Jesus answered, 'You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?' And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, and he said to them, 'I find no fault in him at all.'" The question I would like to ask tonight is the same one that Pilate asked of Jesus. What is truth? In essence, we want to be like Pilate. We want to know what the truth is. And brother, we live in a society today where there's so much deceit, so much lying, so many half-truths, that it's hard sometimes to get to the truth. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here, is he? He's talking about the truth. We run across truths from time to time, but we're talking about the truth. It's so important that it's something that we have to accept. It is so important that it is something we have to seek out. The wise man said in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." That's how important truth is. It's something that you seek out and that you buy, and then you don't get rid of it, whatever the truth may cost. And there's going to be some cost, whether it be time, whether it be money, lands, houses, families, friends, even suffering, physical suffering, may be the price that we have to pay for the truth. But once it has been obtained, we need to cherish it. We need to hold on to it and never let it go. Truth is absolutely necessary in pure religion. Now, I was talking a moment ago about the truths and the lies and the half-truths and all this that we have in society today. But in order for there to be pure religion, there must of necessity be truth. If we turn over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus' close of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, and beginning in verse 21. Very familiar passage. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, done cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These are people who thought they had the truth, but they missed the boat. They missed the mark. You know, we have an example of just such an individual in the book of Acts. Over in Acts, the 18th chapter, a man we're all familiar with, a man we've read about every time we study the book of Acts. In Acts, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So Apollos had the truth, but he only had part of it. And the people that he was teaching, if they received what he was teaching, would only receive part of the truth. Therefore, it was necessary for Priscilla and Aquila to take him aside and teach him more accurately the whole truth of God. There's many deceivers in the world today. And there's many religious deceivers in the world today that want to take the souls of mankind and give them to the devil. If we turn over to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 14. And I'm not going to read the passages or the verses that lead down into verse 14. But I'm going to start at verse 14. And Paul says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now this is people that are being taken by the half-truths and the out-and-out lies. And he goes on, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. Now this word trickery, and in some versions, American Standard Version, I know, has the word sleight of men. But it's translated from a Greek word kobos, or kubos. And it, as it's translated here, or as it's used in this passage, it is kubia. And it actually means throwing dice. Throwing dice. Trickery or sleight of men is just as bad as throwing dice. It's metaphorically used for the deception that gamblers might use in order to deceive the hearts of men. Like victims of gamblers, so are the unlearned in the winds of error. Dishonesty and trickery are the name of the game for the false teachers. They use an assortment of trickery, craftiness, deceit, everything that they possibly can in order to lure man into their false doctrines. But then you drop down to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Let us be on guard against those who lie in wait to deceive. And let us continue to speak the truth in love and grow in Christ. That's what Paul wants us to do. And finally, let us not think that by ignoring someone's error, we're being kind to them. Brethren, this is so important. If we see a house burning at night, we're going to stop and try to render aid or wake people up. We're not going to go on by. Truth, and only the truth, can free us from the bondage of traditions, of doctrines of men, whatever it may be. If anyone is overtaken in an error, then it is our responsibility to save them from eternal death. In James, the 5th chapter, and the last 2 verses, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, notice now, they were at the truth, but they wandered from it, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's why truth is so important. That's why we need to look for it. If we don't have it, we need to search for it and find it. Over in the 20th chapter of John, Jesus is offering another one of his prayers to the Father. And he makes a statement, "Your word is truth." Notice that now. Your word is truth. If a person is going to find the truth, they're going to have to go to God's word. We can't go to men. We can't turn to what they've been teaching. We have to be like the noble Bereans and search the scriptures to find that the things are so. Brethren, we have to have the truth. And that's going to determine whether we spend an eternity in heaven with the Lord, or whether we're going to spend an eternity in heaven or in hell. It all depends upon us searching and getting the truth. If there's any here this evening who has not named the name of Christ, then we ask you to look at the truth that God has outlined in his plan of salvation. Or if you've done so and you've fallen away, you need the prayers of the congregation, or you just need prayers or assistance from the congregation, we ask that you come forward while we stand to sing the song that's been selected.